Finance on District 32 Business Radio.
Hello, I'm Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. Today I'm here with Casey Stein from Pasco Partners Finance. Casey, what inspired you to get into finance?
I think about, 18, 19 years ago, I was working in telecommunications, and my wife actually turned to me one day and said, "You're wasting your brain." It was her exact words,
yeah.
Which I found quite amusing at the time. And what she was basically telling me was that, I had much more potential in terms of, using my knowledge and my intelligence to actually go out and do what was, I guess, going to be enjoyable for myself, but also, help other people, because that's what I've always enjoyed doing. So I looked around and looked at a few different things, and I think at the time, I think my brother-in-law was in finance at the time. I looked at it and went, "Oh, that looks interesting. That looks challenging. Let's give that a go," which was quite funny at the time. But he sort of said to me, he goes, "Yeah, you can go out and be a finance broker. That's not a problem." He goes, "But you're not going to learn everything that you need to." So he directed me to join a couple of different organizations and sort of get my apprenticeship, so to speak, so that I could then obviously get a really good grounding in finance and understand what I was actually dealing with.
How long did that take?
My apprenticeship, I would say, took about 7 years. So I originally started at a group called GE Finance, where we used to do debt collections and repossession in the morning and approvals in the afternoon. So that was quite interesting.
Quite a blend.
You'd see the full spectrum of finance, from life to death and everything in between. And it really gave you some perspective on not so much the finance side and the mechanics and the mathematics of finance, but more to do with the human element of finance and what it did to people and how it drove people to do different things, whether it be good or bad. So that I found really eye-opening, and that I carry with me.
That's a good thing to carry with you. So you've actually learned from the University of Life.
The University of Life, yeah.
I think that's the best university of all.
So I did that for a couple of years, and that was more on the consumer-based finance. And then I did a couple of years of motor vehicle and heavy equipment finance. And then I sort of rounded it out with a three-year stint at ANZ Business Banking, doing exactly that, business banking funding for businesses and all sorts of commercial transactions, which is probably the side that really caught my interest the most in finance, and what I sort of really focus on nowadays.
So how did you come to be with Pasco Partners Finance?
Well, after my seven-year apprenticeship, I actually took a punt, and because I was looking at businesses every day and looking at them sort of bringing me business plans and cash flows and saying, "Hey, I've got this great idea. I want to start a business. I want to grow it. I want to really get out there and make my living." And I spent probably 3 years doing that. I went, "Why am I doing this? I'm looking at everyone else, starting off their business and really doing what they're passionate about. Why aren't I?" And so an opportunity came up to leave the bank and join a small broking group. And I took up on it and stepped out. And that was about 12 years ago now, as a finance broker, and sort of didn't look back from there. So how that led to Pasco's was I've seen some evolution within the finance industry in the last couple of years, particularly around things such as, they talk about fintech, finance technology, and AI mixing with that, and the way that the way people are sort of engaging and interacting with financial institutions was changing and evolving, and that was pretty much on the consumer side. The one thing that wasn't changing is still trying to, find those solutions that fit every single transaction, because unfortunately, while a lot of the products are very much, you can sort of put categories on them and fit them into different spaces, clients you can't. And what made it interesting for me was, over the years, I found that it's really about finding the solution to fit the client within the way that they do things, rather than trying to fit the client into a product. It was more about trying to find the right product for the client. So a few months ago, I come across a contact and followed it up and had a meeting with Pasco Partners Accounting. And through that process, we sort of had a bit of a chat, and they were looking to I guess, grow their finance side of their business and bring someone in experienced who could actually grow it. And I was looking to provide, I guess, greater service to my clients at Sirius Finance beyond just finance broking, because I was getting demand from clients to say, hey, look, can we talk to you about a super? Can we talk to you about, you know, some business advisory and exit planning and that sort of thing? And what I was finding was that clients really just wanted to deal with me direct. And I'm not skilled in those areas. So it was a prime opportunity to really just build a couple of very dynamic businesses to work together and service clients in a very, very complete way, wholesome way.
Where did you make the connection with Pasco?
With Pasco's? Actually, surprisingly enough, I just happened to come across an ad they had running around for a part-time broker while I was looking through the internet for a couple of other things. And so I'm very good with recognizing business logos and brands and remembering where I'd seen them. And while I hadn't necessarily seen Pasco Partners, it raised an old one in my head of Pasco Partner Broom and Blythe. That always sort of stuck in my head, that particular business brand. And so I followed up purely on a lead and a hunch of who they may or may not be. And so knowing that they were an accounting firm, but I'd sort of, like I said, because I'd seen them from the past, I followed up on them. And I guess essentially at the end of the day, I took a jump and said, there's no such thing as a part-time broker. What are you looking for? And had started that conversation from there.
Good on you. That's very good. Casey, you talk about keep financials up to date. Why do I need to keep my financials up to date?
It's keeping the financials up to date within your business is more about making sure you have intelligence on your own business. You don't necessarily know what's happening in your business. While you might say, okay, I have a bunch of orders that's just come in the door this week and I've got to fulfill them and put them out the other side, that's great. But the intelligence about your business is understanding, you know, where those orders are coming from, what it's costing you, you know, what your labor's costing you and things like that, a whole range of different key drivers. But the finance intelligence within your business, understanding those what's happening at the time or what's happening over time at the time as well as over time, is important to know and be able to look at what potentially is going to come up in the future for your business. Why that's important is really because without knowing that, how can you plan for your business to go forward? The vast majority of businesses in some way, shape or form, in order to grow, the vast majority need one very essential item within their business, and that's capital.
Yeah.
Without it, you can't. Whether it be sweat capital or whether it be cash or a loan or whatever it is, you need capital to grow your business. And the vast majority of businesses, you know, they won't grow as fast as they possibly can without some sort of injection of capital. And so it's very hard to go to any sort of lender, whether it's an institution or a private funder or whatever it is, and actually go, hey, look, I got a great idea. Can you fund me? Because we're going to make a lot of money. Great. Show me how.
Yeah.
Show me what you've done so far. I mean, everyone sees it on the Shark Tank when they say, you know, what are your numbers? What are your sales? That's your financial intelligence of your business. Without it, it's very, very hard to convince someone that the money that they're going to lend you is going to turn in, you know, come back as well as turn a profit, you know.
So that's a very good reason to keep your financials up to date.
Correct.
Okay, so you say to be proactive and not reactive. Can you tell me more about that?
Over the years, we effectively always have two types of clients who approach us for finance. Those are sort of those that are reactive because they need money urgently to fund their business because something has happened. And those that are proactive that are actually looking to say, hey, look, we're picking up more orders. We don't have sufficient capacity within our current warehouse to, you know, continue to manufacture or whatever it might be. We need bigger premises. We need more vehicles. We need, you know, a bigger machine to spit out widgets, whatever it might be. And it's usually those ones that are reactive about their business that have two issues. One, obtaining funds is an issue because you're being reactive, because generally there's an issue behind the scenes. But two, it's also usually you're behind the eight ball at that stage, and it will create some sort of bottleneck within your business. Whereas those businesses that we see that are proactive, and again, this stems back to our other tip of being, you know, having your financial intelligence, those businesses that are more proactive in understanding their business, they can foresee that, hey, yes, by the way, we're currently spitting out 1,000 widgets an hour. We know that demand's going to grow to 2,000 widgets an hour. Let's look at what's going to be the right time for us to invest, raise some capital, and buy that new machine that's going to spit out those extra widgets.
What's one of the problems that you mentioned, like a behind-the-scenes problem for the reactive business?
Oh, look, there's no one or two things that you can sort of point to. It can be a range of different things. Unfortunately, life is life. Going back to my previous history in finance, life is life, and some things happen. Some are driven personally and internally from the business owners, whether it be a family tragedy or something like that, and it takes their eye off the ball. Even things such as accidents that come along the way, where clients, you know, they can't be involved in their business like they want to, and unfortunately their staff aren't trained as well to look after it. Now all of a sudden, taxes haven't been paid, or suppliers haven't been paid, or money's been gone missing. You know, that can be a real issue. A big one that happens the vast majority of the time actually stems around, again, the financial intelligence, but not managing their debtors, not collecting on invoices outstanding. While that tends to be a pretty common theme with anyone in finance or, you know, accounting or whatever else it might be, the reality is it is really the vast majority of businesses that I see, it has something to do with outstanding invoices or not collecting on invoices or not just getting them in on time. So cash flow is obviously king, and that's a big contributor to a lot of the reactive businesses, why they're being reactive, because they're not on top of their financials. They don't have their financial intelligence to say, hey, look, our days to debtors are actually spreading out. We've got too many in the 60-day column. We need to pull them back to the 30-day column. We can't have that to grow our business or survive our business. So that's really what we see a lot of.
The way around that is to seek professional advice?
Seek professional advice. And not just from a finance broker. Everyone within the finance industry or the accounting industry or business advisory industry, they all have their specialties, whether it be in myself in raising capital, whether it be an accountant to advise you on how to better structure those sorts of things, or a business advisor on how to plan forward and how to bring in different systems into your business. All of those various professionals are highly important to engage, not just one, but all of them, because they all bring something to the table that assists the business in actually being able to understand it, control it, put in place the measures that they need to, and then lead it and guide it to where they want it to go.
So when you talk about business intelligence or financial intelligence, you're actually, like if I look at a chart of accounts or a profit and loss.
Financial statement, yep.
A financial statement. I mean, I can sort of figure it out.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd have the ability to forecast off that.
Well, it's sort of interesting. I see a lot of times in the open market, or not a lot of times, but let me rephrase that. I see commonly over the years where some businesses, they will leave their forecasting to one of their consultants to do, or an accountant or something like that. And, you know, that's very good at what they're doing, but no one really knows their business better than the business owner, right? That's not to say that there aren't experts in various industries, but effectively a business owner, if they're worth their salt, knows what's going on within their business, knows, you know, sort of their customers and how their normal behaviors are in terms of their buying behaviors. Oh, look, most of our clients go away over Christmas and don't purchase certain stock. Okay, well, we know in the lead up to that period, we're not going to purchase any of that stock in for sale because it's going to sit there longer. Those little simple things which, you know, someone like myself as a finance broker, I can make some generalities about a particular industry and I can prepare a forecast, but it's not going to be as good or as accurate as having the client involved. And not to mention the client being involved, taking ownership of that is taking ownership of their business. And go, okay, well, I actually understand my business, or I don't, and now I understand I need to know more about it. So that financial intelligence is really about using your professionals around you to educate yourself about your business.
Okay. What about for a freelance? Because for many, many years, I was a small business offering a service to three or four major companies, bigger companies. But it was a volatile industry. It would be up one day and down the next. We had no way of knowing what the trends were going to be. How do I forecast that?
Look, that is a hard one. When you have a volatile industry, a lot of that would revolve back onto your experience and understanding it. You would use your professionals around you to help bring that together and help question, I guess, sometimes not knowing about an industry. You know, having a professional who doesn't know all the specifics about your industry is actually beneficial because they can actually ask you questions that you may not ask yourself because you think, oh, that's not a question. That's not a question for the industry because it doesn't relate. When in actual fact, what they're doing is they're asking you to think beyond what you already know or what you already think you know. You know?
What you think you know.
Yeah.
So really what you're saying is that it's not enough to know just your business. You've got to understand the industry.
Understand the drivers.
Yes.
If you're not understanding the drivers, you're a passenger. That's really what you are. You're a passenger in that industry. You're not leading it. You're not evolving. You're not creating your own destiny within your business. You're a passenger along the way. In which case, look, if business was easy, everyone would be in business. And there's a reason why not everyone's in business, because it's hard.
So you're saying get out of the back seat and get in the driver's seat.
You got to get in the driver's seat. You can never be a passenger in a business. That is just a recipe for disaster.
Awesome. I love that. Thanks, Casey. That was really good. It's Alan Cox, just been talking with Casey Stein from Pasco Partners Finance. Thanks again, Casey, for your time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the power of connection.